Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As many of you might know, I usually write my sermons about 4 to 5 weeks in advance. And thus, the sermon that I wrote today, I wrote sometime back in about the second week of October, long before the election ever took place. And at that time, as I looked forward toward the election, I just kind of assumed that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and that those who voted Republican would be frustrated that they had lost yet again, but that things would then go back to pretty much normal that we were all used to, and folks would just kind of move forward. And thus, I didn't write a sermon that had anything to do with the election, but everything to do with the readings for today. But then came Election Day, and perhaps more significantly, the day after Election Day. And all of a sudden, things were not at all as I had imagined them to be. Hillary Clinton did not win the election, and people were much more frustrated and upset than I had anticipated they would be. They were actually angry and spiteful, hurtful, and hateful. I read Facebook and Twitter posts from Christian people on both sides of the political aisle that did not reflect a relationship with Jesus Christ at all. And that's when I sat down in my office on Friday morning to begin to practice and to review and get ready for this message, to study it, a message which in no way addressed at all anything to do with the election, nothing to do with the unchristian sentiments that I'd been reading all week. I realized that I needed to lay that sermon aside and start over to address some of the things that are on people's minds today. And so the text that I'd like to use for this message is not the one that I've listed in the bulletin in the theme of American Idol, I-D-L-E, but it's words that Jesus said on the night before he himself was put to death. As he was in the upper room and he was praying, these are the words he said from John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The words of Jesus. As Jesus prepared to leave this world, prepared to go to a cross, to pay for our sins, prepared to turn over the reins of the church to his people, he prayed that God would make them, make us, one, in the same way that he and the Father are one. He prayed that all of us, that is the body of believers, would be brought to complete unity, so that the world, meaning those outside of the Christian faith, those who don't know Jesus as their Savior, that they would know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he loves them, and that he gave his life for them, that they too might then come to faith and be saved. So, how do you think we did with that unity thing this week? How do you think you did with that unity thing this week? I'm afraid that there are many of us in the sanctuary who lost sight of our identity in Christ and lost sight of Jesus' prayer. Some of us started thinking that we were followers of Hillary Clinton. Others of us thought we were followers of Donald Trump instead of followers of Jesus Christ. Some of us this week put God's kingdom on the back burner of our life and started thinking in terms of our political persuasion instead of our theological conversion. I posted this on Facebook this week. I'm going to read it for you now. There is no room in the Christian heart for hatred or malice of any kind. Placing political affiliations and positions above our Christian responsibilities and relationships cannot be the actions of one who is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Our love for our neighbors and our love for our enemies is not predicated on them being in agreement with us. But it's predicated on God's love for us, whose son Jesus went to a cross to die for us while we were still sinners. You see, we love each other because Jesus first loved us. We don't love others because they deserve our love or because they share the same skin color or the same gender or the same political party. Not because we agree with each other. We love each other because Christ Jesus loves us. Because he gave his life for us. Period. After what I saw and read this week, I think we all have some soul searching to do as to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We all probably also have some repenting to do for ways we have not reflected Jesus in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, especially in this past week, how we might have hurt the cause of Jesus, may have actually led people away from him as we defended our political positions. I said at the very beginning of worship today that we're at the very end of the church year right now. We're just one Sunday away. It's a time when all of our readings focus on that day when Jesus is going to come back and take us to live with him in heaven. And that day may be sooner than later. And yet in the midst of that, we're surrounded by people who don't know Jesus. We walk out these doors and we're surrounded by people who are going to spend eternity in hell, suffering, because they don't know Jesus. We live in a world where many people have never even heard his name. They don't know about his sacrifice for us. And while we're busy bickering over which candidate got elected, People are dying and going to hell, and Satan is laughing. Jesus gave us a commission before he left us. Before he ascended. His commission was to disciple all the world, to baptize them, and to teach them to obey everything that he had commanded us. He didn't commission us to make Republicans out of everybody. He didn't commission us to badmouth those who don't vote the same way as you do, if you're a Democrat. Told us is not of this world, and thus neither should ours be. And if you don't get that, then you need to spend more time in God's Word and less time listening to the media. Jesus prayed that we would have the same unity that he and his Father have, so that the world could know him and that the world would know of his love. And that unity does not mean that we all think and act and vote the same. It means that we realize what it is that unites us, namely the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins that he gives to us, and the promise of everlasting life with him. Our unity needs to recognize that those things are more important and more sacred and more powerful than any worldly thing on which we disagree. And therefore, we cannot and we must not let this election divide us, nor jade us as God's people in this world. You see, the salvation of many people depends on how we respond to this challenge and how we react to this situation. And if we as God's people give in to the hate and give in to the malicious talk and give in to the judgmental accusations around us, then the real winner in this election is not Donald Trump and it's not the Republican Party. The real winner is Satan. For the sake of Christ, for the sake of his church, and for the sake of the lost, may we remember who we are and what it is that unites us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.